Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here for your many blessings. Father, I pray that you would still be with those that are sick this morning, those that are hurting, those that are struggling that couldn't be here, Father, that your healing hand would be upon them, that you'd bring encouragement to them right where they're at. And Father, for all of us that are here this morning, may we be hungry for your word, hungry to hear your voice, and we find encouragement this morning. May we know that you speak and have spoken to each of us individually. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I was really struggling with what to preach on, but God never fails, and He's just so awesome and so wonderful. And I was praying, and because usually I'll start getting a thought middle of the week, and I was getting no thoughts at all. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I just want to encourage everybody. I just feel like I need to have an encouraging message to preach, and I was getting nothing. And finally, Friday afternoon, it was like the Lord, I felt like, just began to speak to me, and I almost couldn't write it down fast enough, and I love it when that happens. And so then I was wondering about the title of this message, and I titled it, You Have Not Because You Ask Not. And I was thinking about at Kimberly and Brandon's wedding, Kimberly's uncle Greg makes really good food, and he was helping with the food. Well, I can't remember if it was Charles and Grace's wedding shower or baby shower, one of those that we were at, and Greg had made these smoked green bean things. I don't even know what they was with barbecue, and they were good. They were really good. So at Brandon and Kimberly's wedding, I heard Greg was helping. I'm expecting to see the green beans, and I didn't see no green beans. And I said something to Greg, and he said, "You have not because you asked not." And I said, "Well, that's good, Greg. Thank you." And I still haven't got any green beans. But I was thinking about with our Lord, and I was thinking about how many times do we really ask God for things and really think He'll answer, really think He's listening? I ask Him every week for a sermon, and He hasn't failed me yet. And I was thinking about other areas of my life. Do I really ask God? Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." You hear what that says? He'll meet all of our needs. Not just some, not just a few. He will meet all of our needs. In Psalms 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." We hear that, the 23rd Psalms, a lot at funerals, for gravesides, and we normally associate it with someone dying. But it starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." And I wonder how many of us are living our lives in want. We're living our lives unfulfilled. We're living our lives with like a void. And we don't seek the Lord. We don't ask the Lord to help us in those areas. We don't ask the Lord for these things. And we're seeking it in materialism. And we're seeking it in accolades. And we're seeking it in anywhere other than God. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." So, in each of these few verses that I just read, he will meet our needs according to his riches. We shall not be in want. If we ask, he gives generously. So why are we so reluctant to ask God? Because what a mighty God we serve. How generous and how loving God is. What a mighty God we serve. And how many of us are crying out and asking God and seeking God. And so in all this and trying to be positive, the Lord brought David and Bathsheba to my mind. And so if you want to open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I'm like, well, Lord, how is David and Bathsheba a positive? Because it's really not. But there's something hidden in there. maybe not hidden, but there's something in there that I think applies to our message. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 1, the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare for a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hands of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your servants' wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." So as I'm reading this and I'm thinking about all this, and I was thinking about how God had blessed David so much. He had delivered him from Saul's hands. He watched over David. He took care of David. And I think that we're no different today. Last night, my dad called me and said, "Y'all want to meet for dinner?" And so we went and met him for dinner. And as we're eating, and we were just talking about the price of everything going up and the price of everything going up. I don't know about y'all, if y'all have noticed, the price of everything's going up. And, we were kind of just griping and complaining a little bit and everything. But dad said, but Pete, we're doing all right. We're sitting here, we're eating pizza. We're not doing without." I said, "You're right, Dad, we're not. And you look at all the restaurants, they're all full. People aren't really doing without yet." So many of us, we're blessed. We're just like David. We're blessed abundantly. We don't even realize how blessed we are. But David saw something that he wanted that he shouldn't take and that he shouldn't have, and that was Bathsheba. And I was thinking about how many of us, you know, we're just like David. We're blessed beyond measure, but we're looking at what we don't have, and we want that. We want someone else's house. We want someone else's car. We want someone else's kids. We want someone else's husband, someone else's wife. We want someone else's job. We want, instead of being satisfied with what we have. And David, he saw something, and he wanted it, and he took it. But the verse that really stood out to me in this was, my eyes are scanning quickly. "I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if this had been too little, I would have given you even more." If this had been too little, I'd have gave you even more, David. I'd have gave you even more. And that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, how awesome is our God to us? And how many of us are praying and asking God for things and seeking God so that He can provide, so that we're not doing evil, we're not chasing after things that we have no business chasing after? I want this to be a positive message. But the question came to my mind is, how many of us are just like David and we're looking and we're desiring things that we shouldn't look at and we shouldn't desire? God said, "If this has been too little, I would have given you even more." And I believe that God's saying that to us today. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 1. But I think that this is going to explain why many of us are doing without in things in our lives. It says, what caused fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. So that was a verse where why I really came to this is you do not have because you do not ask God. Many of us, we don't have things because we've not really asked God. We've not really sought the Lord. But then here, but when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You know, my son is a firebug. He loves to burn stuff. I mean, he loves burning stuff, and he for Christmas got these gloves that you can pick up stuff on fire, and it's not supposed to burn your hand, and he just likes burning stuff. And the other day, he was messing with something, I can't even remember what it was, and he almost caught himself on fire, and I said, son, okay, you need to learn your lesson. He was burning stuff out behind the house. He was burning boxes and stuff from Christmas, and the wind got up, and it was just like, woof, and it about got away from him. And I said, there needs to be a little bit of fear of fire in your life. There needs to be a little bit of fear. He has no fear when it comes to fire. It drives me crazy, you know. He just loves to burn stuff. And so the reason why I'm telling y'all this is when he was a little boy, I wouldn't give him matches or a lighter, and now that he's almost, well, is he 22? I don't even like giving him matches and a lighter now. But you think about, with a baby, I'm not going to hand him matches. I'm not going to hand him something that will harm him or something that he'll use for wrong. And how many of us were crying out to God and we're saying, God, why won't you give me this? Why won't you give me this? And he's saying, because your motives aren't right. You don't realize if I gave you this blessing, you turn your back on me. You don't realize if I gave you this blessing, it would lead you down a wrong path. You don't realize if, and it's the same with our kids, is we don't give them certain things until they reach a certain age, right? We want to protect them. We want to watch over them. And I believe that God's doing the same. And some of us are saying, Pete, I've cried out to God for years and He's not giving me what I want. But are you asking with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures? Verse 4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone then who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely, but He gives us more grace? That is why the Scripture said God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I wanted to read all that little section there because I was thinking about how many of us are double-minded. And we wonder why God doesn't bless us. We wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers because we're so double-minded, because we're praying for things that's not lining up with His will. We're praying for things that we may be selfish, that we may have things and do things and provide for ourselves and our families and not think about anybody else and not think about the consequences of our actions. And you go back to chapter 1, verse 5, and he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. There we are again. Ask God, and he gives generously. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And how many of us have cried out to God and asked for something, but then we go, but I don't know if this is really God's will. I don't know if God will really end. I don't know. I've done it. It's taken me a long time, and I'm not going to lie. There's still weeks that I'm fretting about the sermon. God's never failed me. Why do I doubt sometimes? Why do I worry? God's never failed me, but there's still moments that I'm going,
I even have dreams sometimes. I get up here and have nothing to say and everybody's staring at me. I go, what?
God's never failed me. So if I trust Him to provide a sermon for Sunday, can I not trust Him in every area of my life? But how many times am I double-minded? How many times do I... I've really begun to pray this verse over my life. God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom. But I... How many of us pray for things and then we kick our feet up and go, okay. See, I believe that praying for wisdom, God's saying, I'll give it to you, but get in my Word and study. Get on your knees and pray. Don't just kick back and say, okay, life's good. God's going to give me wisdom now. I'm going to watch the garbage on television, listen to the garbage on the radio, but boy, I'm going to be full of wisdom because I'm not doubting God's going to give it to me. We're double-minded then, and we're chasing after the things of the world instead of the things of God. I got written here, so what point am I trying to make? What am I saying here? What a wonderful, generous God that we serve that will supply all our needs. That's the God we serve. How wonderful He is. But are we asking with right motives and not doubting? Can God trust us with what He gives us? Or will our eyes wander? Can God trust you this morning? Can God trust me this morning? Can God trust us with an abundance blessing? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So for many of us, what truly is our treasure? For many of us, our treasure is us. We're praying for things for selfishness. We're praying for things to bless us, to take care of us, to provide for our needs. But if God provides for our needs, are we going to in turn provide for someone else? If God gives us wisdom, are we going to share that wisdom with someone else? If God's taking care of us in an area, are we going to take care of others in that same way? See, I believe that God wants to bless us and God wants to use us, but He wants to bless us and use us. And what have we talked about several times? Because we're Christ ambassadors so that we can show His love and kindness to those around us so that they might glorify our God in heaven. Can God trust you? Only you can answer that if God can trust you. And don't just say, yeah, God can trust me. God can trust me. But I want you to think about your life and think about what you're truly doing with your wealth and with your wisdom and with your time and with your ability. What are you really doing with it? How are you really using it? And then go, can God really trust you? If I'm being 100% honest, God can't trust me in certain areas of my life yet. Because there's certain areas of my life that I'm still very selfish. There's certain areas of my life that I'm still Pete comes first. How many of you today, do you really can answer truthfully and say, yeah, God can trust me. If He gave me $1 million today and told me to give it all away tomorrow, I'd give it all away. If God... paid off all my bills and told me I could retire, then I would use my time serving Him. If God, you know, whatever it is, if God gave me all this knowledge in the Word of God, God could trust me to share it with others. It's an abundance. It's every area of our life. Can God really trust you? And I gotta honestly say there's areas of my life that I need work. There's other areas of my life that I can go, woo, I'm doing good. But there's areas of my life that God's saying, Pete, come on. Come on. We pray and we say, what a mighty God we serve. God, bless me, bless me, bless me. But it's all about me. It's all about my desires and my wants and not really taking and serving God with it. Matthew 6:31 says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagan runs after all these things, And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. As I read that verse, and I think, how many of us right now, if God were to look down and examine our lives, He'd say, you're living like the pagans. You're running after all those things. You're running after those things of what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what's popular and what's the end thing or whatever it is. The pagans run after those things. We're not to be like the pagans. Verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What a mighty God we serve. But He's saying, first seek me. Seek me and see if I'll not bless you. Seek me and see if I'll not provide for you. Seek me and see if I'll not take care of you. And I was thinking about the prodigal son, and I was thinking about the prodigal, and he's out running around in the world, and he's seeking for joy, and he's seeking for happiness, and he's filling his life with every pleasure, but then the money runs out, and what happens? He's starving and in with the pigs. And all the while, what was his dad doing? Looking for him. Son, I wish you'd come home. We all know the story. When he's a long way off, the dad sees him and the dad runs to him and embraces him. Says, you once were lost, but now you're found. I wonder if some of us today, we've not asked God, but we're living like the prodigal, and so God can't bless us. God can't bless us when we're in the pit, when we're with the pigs wallowing around, and not even looking for Him, and not even repenting, and not even going back. And I don't know how many of y'all remember. I want this to be positive. How many of y'all remember the prayer of Jabez? I don't remember when. I just remember it was a big thing, and there was a little book. I might have read the book. I don't remember. It's been too many years ago. But there was this big thing about the prayer of Jabez, and this guy wrote a book, and everybody was talking about it. It was probably 20 years ago. But that came to my mind. And so if any of y'all would like to flip back to 1 Chronicles, I'm just going to be reading two verses from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And this was the prayer of Jabez that a guy wrote a book about and blew up and was all over the place. But I just was thinking about it, and I was thinking about how God wants to bless us. 1 Chronicles 4:9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So what's that saying there? He was a righteous man. He was a righteous man, and I believe that we want God's blessings. Are we seeking Him? Are we living righteously? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that's where I want to ask, is that where you're at today? Are you seeking Him first? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. And you think, well, that's kind of a selfish prayer. And I don't remember the book. I don't remember anything about it. But that's kind of a selfish prayer. But have you ever prayed a selfish prayer? I have. God bless me. God take care of my family. God help me in this. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. What? He's praying to be free from pain? I tell you what, that's a prayer I want to see answered in my life, is to be free from pain. It's like the older I get, the more when I'm getting up in the morning and the aches and the pains. Wow, I'm going to write this and put it on my refrigerator or something, you know? And God granted his request. Huh? I thought we learn obedience through suffering. I thought we learn things through pain. That's all part of the Bible, but that's what the Word of God says. God granted his request. But it began with him being honorable. With him being righteous. Is anybody getting this morning? What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve, that He wants to bless you. He wants to answer your prayers. But are you praying with right motives? Are you praying seeking God? Is God got your best? We're about to end. Ephesians 3, verse 20. This is going to blow your mind. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. How awesome is that? That He can do even more than we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes I think about my life. And sometimes I complain, and sometimes I grumble, and sometimes I'm a baby. But sometimes I think about my life and I'm amazed at how awesome God is and how much He's blessed me. It's immeasurably more than I can even imagine. Do you guys ever stop and just think about your life and thank God for your blessings, for all that He's given you, and that it's immeasurably more than you can even imagine? Can I tell y'all something, and you might think this is silly, and I've shared it with y'all before, but some of y'all may have not heard it. When I was a little boy, I loved trucks and cars. And I would play in my room for hours with little Hot Wheels and trucks and cars. And I've still got these semis in the closet, Golden Eagle semis. And I would drive around as a little kid in my semis. And my grandparents lived in Michigan. And I used to tell my grandma, when you get old and I get grown, I'm going to drive up and in my semi, and I'll bring you home in your rocking chair, and you can sit in the back of the semi in my rocking chair. And I always wanted to be a truck driver. I'm a truck driver. You might say, what a stupid dream, Pete. It's what I always wanted to do. And God answered that. God answered that. What a mighty God we serve. Is there days that my job's tough? Is there days that I think, oh, I wish I could have another job? Yeah. But God so blessed me. God has so blessed you. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. Last verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9. I'm just reading the first half of it. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You've been lacking in your life. You've been depressed in your life. You've been lacking joy in your life. You feel unfulfilled in your life. You're always angry in your life. You're always discouraged in your life. It seems like the doors are always closing in your life. My first question to you is, are you fully committed to God? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, don't misunderstand the message today. This is not a message of life is free and easy and happy and butterflies and cotton candy if you follow Jesus. We all know that that's not the life, but the truth is many of us are lacking. We have not because we ask not, and when we ask with wrong motives because we're not fully committed to God, because we're not first seeking Him. And God's up in heaven, just like the prodigal son's dad was looking. It says God's up in heaven looking throughout saying, whom can I bless? Who can I take care of? Who is fully committed to me? Right? Who was fully committed to me? I want to encourage you today. We have people in our church family that's going through it right now. We have people sitting right here with us that might be going through it right now. God loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants to answer your prayers. Don't doubt. Don't waver. Don't be tossed around but be committed to Him fully. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for Your many blessings. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there's any here this morning that their heart and their minds have been wandering to the things of this world, that they've been like the pagans chasing after the things of this world, that right now that they would recognize it, that they would repent, that they would ask for forgiveness, that they would cry out to You, and that we would know that You're here listening. And fathers, for others here this morning, that our minds have been split. We've been double-minded. May from this moment forward we repent and get our focus back on You, completely and totally on You. Lord, maybe there's some here this morning and they've been praying for weeks, months, years for something specific and they've not seen the answer. May they not give up hope. May they know that You're there listening. That You want to bless us. That You want to provide for us. That You're a good Father. Jesus, whatever the need is this morning, may we find encouragement through Your Word, through Your Holy Spirit. May we truly, each and every one of us, begin to seek You with all of our heart. With all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And watch and see how You will provide. How You will take care of us. May our trust only be in You and You alone. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If anybody needs encouragement this morning, if anybody needs anything this morning, come and let me pray for you. God's searching this morning the hearts of everyone in this room, I believe. But He finds you a righteous servant, fully committed to Him.
Oh, Lord my God, when I in my soul, my Savior.
I want to keep singing, but I just want y'all to think as we're singing this. We're just going to sing one more line. But as you sing it, I want you to think about how great God is, truly. These aren't just words. This isn't just another song. If you're here today, we serve a great God. I was thinking about all the people that's been sick with COVID that are here today. You still got breath in your lungs. I was thinking about all the times that God's come through and provided. All the wonderful things that He's given us. We serve a great God, and it's not just a song. So let's sing one more stanza, and as you're singing it, think and thank God for something that He's given to you, something that He's done in your life, and how great He is. Jesus.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art.
Some of y'all don't know Teresa and Tatum, but they went to church here forever, and it was good to have them back to visit us today. And so y'all make sure and make them feel welcome being back and visiting with us. Teresa said that she still watches online some, and so we're thankful for that. Can I get a few of you guys to go down to the gym? Tables and chairs are already set up, but I just need help arranging them. Elders meeting tonight at 6:30. Communion and fellowship at 6. Please come tonight and let's just hang out and have a good time together. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.